from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Tomorrow, by the way, Evan out sick today. Got a little sniffles, but good job by him. Not getting the rest of the crew sick. I got to give him credit for that. So it's obviously me and Tiki here. Loogie Connor across the way as well. So tomorrow we are going to be at the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. WFAN will have a nice little setup, a booth. Sal and BT from 10 to 2. And, of course, us from 2 to, I guess, 6, because we got Yankee baseball a little earlier tomorrow. Correct, Loogie? Okay.
Correct.
2 to 6 o'clock tomorrow, you will have us on site at Fanatics Fest. Now, if you haven't gotten your tickets, obviously check out Fanatics Fest. Go buy those tickets. Come by, see the show. They're doing something really, really cool. Are you the biggest super fan? People, Fanatics Fest is asking you to show up to Fanatics Fest NYC in your best gear for your chance to basically meet your favorite athletes. What we would love you to do, who could be the best dressed Tiki Barber impersonator?
Whoop, there it is.
All right?
You don't have to be a Tiki Barber impersonator.
What's that, what's the right
people,
word to
I don't
say?
Want people like showing up in blackface and stuff.
That oh, good point. Good point. What happened like the muscles in 21, right, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Bald head.
Just put on a Tiki Barber jersey. That's all you need to do.
Yes. Yes. That's an important note.
I don't want you to get canceled on because Sean's misspeaking about how we want you to dress up.
Well, okay. We want people to dress up as Tiki, but yeah, you know. Be culturally appropriate. I think it's the right thing to say.
Right.
But yeah, show up in those 21 jerseys. Let's see. If you happen to have a shaved head, I think that could work too.
Right.
You know, if you can run right to the booth without, you know, looking down and
Have you seen the setup? I mean, I know I've got the depiction of what it's going to be like, but I don't. Have you actually physically seen it?
I've seen it, yes.
And what is there space like around us? Like what's around us?
There'll be some space. There's going to be some benches set up if you want to watch the show. And then there's like a little bit of like a red carpety type thing where you could take pictures with us with the WFAN background. So we have a little of a setup there for the fans to come and enjoy the whole thing.
And I saw Michael Rubin's video, and obviously I've seen the map of kind of the layout. It looks really, really cool. As far as I know, like a lot of people have talked about, you know, meeting the athletes and the different price points you pay for some of those. But there is a ton of interactive stuff to do. All the major sports have interactive things to do. The WWE has interactive things to do.
Yep, UFC as well. By the way,
there's a ring?
An octagon.
Really? An octagon?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I know what the
WWE. Don't try to body me tomorrow, team.
Come on. It's on, Sean.
I'd buy a ticket for that. They also have the WWE stuff where you could do like your own entrance and thing. You mentioned dressing up like Tiki and you gave, you know, when he's playing career. If you want to be creative, there are many versions of Tiki Barber. Uh-huh. Maybe you're the Kinky Boots Tiki Barber.
Dude, if someone came at Tiki Boots as Kinky Boots Tiki, I'd put him on air.
Okay.
You heard that? Kinky Boots Tiki? Right.
That's cool.
Announcer Tiki?
You better have thigh-high stilettos, though.
Well, that's the real sell of Kinky Boots. You can't just wear heels and a 21 jersey.
Exactly.
You got to have the thigh-high stilettos.
I think I actually have a picture of me in the thigh-high red stiletto heels and a football jersey.
Really?
And a Tiki jersey.
Okay, so
actually,
you can come like
I actually
that.
Have that picture.
You can come like that.
I'm going to send it to you, Loogie.
Do we think anybody will dress as Evan Roberts tomorrow?
What is that, like a slob?
Well, definitely.
Mustard stains?
I would go stain on a hoodie.
I'm a loser.
With a wet scorecard. I think that's the best way to do it.
And that, you know when you have that crusty stuff around your eyes when you wake up? He always has that, so add that to the costume.
So if we do that, then you could dress
as
Evan
Roberts.
But either way, should be a fun day. Come say hello, WFAN owned setup. We will be live 2 to 6 if you're walking through. I think it is right across from the UFC Octagon, I've been told. And by the way, a ton of stuff out there. I'm going to be doing some shopping while I'm out there too. A little shopping. I'm looking. I got my eyes. I need to get one of these Giants 100th year anniversary jerseys. So hopefully they have something that suits me.
And there's some stuff that we could do competitively as well, I believe. Like,
okay,
we could kick a soccer ball, I think, into a net. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I think there's stuff we could do. I heard BT and Sal mentioning it before. There was like 5 to 10 things we can do as far as competition goes.
All right.
If we want. With fans, us, who knows.
I think just me and Tiki should get in the octagon and I got to body him.
He will eat you for lunch and then you'll eat your own lunch later.
This is where I disagree. Tiki will outrun me. Tiki will clearly do anything on a football field better than me. I think in an octagon, I got the weight.
The guy is going to the Hall of Fame. You're not Brian Dawkins. He's going to run you over.
You don't run somebody over to UFC octagon, right?
Yes, you do.
I mean, you can. It's all holds barred,
it's
right?
It's basically like a wrestling.
No, what is it called?
No holds barred, yeah. Now, it's kind of like wrestling with kicking, and I'm not going to actually punch in. I hope you wouldn't punch me because that's where I wouldn't have a chance. But no, I think I could body Tiki in a ring. We'll see.
Did you get it, Loogie?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. I said that.
Oh, boy. The kinky boots picture?
Yes.
Oh, no. I got it. Oh, I got it.
So maybe you tweet that out. Tweet that out from the Evan and Tiki account and, you know, see if anybody will show up like that tomorrow.
Got it.
Now, that will draw some eyeballs, and you will get on the air. Tiki has vowed that. We should also be noted with Evan out today. Evan did promote at 4:30 the next Lugash debate series. That is not going to take place today because nothing can take place that Evan promotes without Evan here. We are hoping to do that on site tomorrow. So if you want to see a Lugash debate series in person tomorrow, Fanatics Fest, 2 to 6. We're not doing that. That comes from a very dark Ranger ending. Dennis in Woodbridge. Dennis, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Dennis?
Good.
Couple points I'd like to make. I'm a Met fan, but I always think, why doesn't Aaron Judge be converted to first base? He's now 32 years old. It would probably add years to his career and take away more of the injury risk. At 6'7", he would be a phenomenal target at first base.
He would, but the question is, can he get down to dig the ball out? You know what I mean, Dennis?
Good point.
Willie McCovey and Frank Howard. Howard was 6'7". Willie McCovey was 6'4", 6'5".
Okay.
He's athletic. He could get down.
Well,
he's a good athlete.
I would say this, and thanks for the... Oh, all right, I thought he was wrapped.
Yeah.
I'm the worst at that.
Right.
I want to apologize to Dennis. I can tell I just aggravated Tiki, and
my
I apologize.
Bad.
His bad on our behalf. All right. We've seen 2 straight years Aaron Judge at points in batting practices and stuff taking grounders at first base.
Yeah.
We've seen it in the spring.
Maybe it's inevitable.
I think it is inevitable.
I mean,
I think you bring up a good point. Like, it's not going to be just, hey, slap him at first base. He is taller. That is going to be more difficult. But I think the Yankees know this deep down in the long run. But right now, I think we forget, and I know that he can get hurt playing there. Aaron Judge is an incredible outfielder.
Yeah.
An incredible athlete. Imagine telling us 4 years ago as Aaron Judge with his big frame in right field, as he gets older, he's going to move to center field. We have taken for granted Aaron Judge this year playing every single game basically in center field because of Juan Soto in right field. He's an incredible outfield athlete.
No, you're right. But he has also, I mean, he's been DHing a lot more this year. So you know that in their minds, they're thinking, it's not a ton of times, but there are games where he does DH. So you know that they're trying to give him breaks. And at 32, you worrying about it? No.
Yeah, no,
I'm not. I'm probably not worrying about this actually for another 4 years.
And then I agree.
And then at 36, and you still got, you know, 3 or 4 more years left, that's when you're trying to say, all right, are you all the time DH? And maybe he becomes like Stanton.
Right.
Not that Stanton's ever playing the field anymore, but you know what I mean. A couple years ago, all right, we'll get you out there for 20, 30 games, but for the most part, you're our DH. That's not going to happen for Aaron Judge until he's 36 years old. So you have time to figure out how you take the wear off of him. Right now, he still feels young to me. Right now, he still feels like he's a hero and a young man despite being 32 years old.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, medicine and training and nutrition, all that stuff is so much easier and more available to athletes than ever before. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be 50 next year, and I don't feel like it at all.
You look like it.
I know I don't.
I'm just kidding.
That's my point. Right. So I know this. So if I feel this way,
right,
and I don't have a whole organization and nutritionist and everything else behind me allowing it to happen, Aaron Judge is going to be just fine for many years to come.
But you are like the most nutritionalized guy I know.
Actually, I don't eat great all the time.
Not all the time, but you're where, like, we have had random times where, you know, fast food will come in here, a sponsor that, you know, makes great food, but otherwise could be on. Tiki's wherewithal to not go the extra mile and be a pig, like me or Lou Garraby or Evan.
I'll eat
incredible.
Some of it, but I won't, yeah. I won't gorge.
The idea to just, like, push, yeah, I'm good, a couple bites, I'm good, is unbelievable to me. Or just, you know what, yeah, this yogurt, this will hold me over. Excuse me? But that's why he looks the way he looks, and I've had a gray beard since I was 29. John in Garden City. John, what's up?
What up, John?
Hello, hello, fellas. So, I want to make my second point that I made to the screener first, which is, after seeing Trent Grisham, you know, screw up that fly ball yesterday, and Verdugo going in and out, before September, before you're not eligible for the playoffs without an injury, get Jason Dominguez up here. Perhaps you have three superstars back to back to back. He was unbelievable for those eight games.
And he hit a home run last night, his first home run since back.
I want to see this guy. You know, and he may be the answer to who's going to protect Judge, who's protecting Soto. You know, that's criminal if they don't bring him up here. It's not like Trent Grisham setting the world on fire, neither is Verdugo.
No, John, I think you bring up a great point. We talked about this a little at Jets camp, and Evan brought up a couple things. Number one, that Dominguez hadn't been hitting at that time, and also the idea of starting that rookie clock and being eligible for rookie of the year and obviously paying
that
him down the road.
That would be next year.
Right.
Because if next year he wins rookie of the year, then the Yankees get a draft pick.
Exactly. So that helps the Yankees and all of that. So it could just be a matter of waiting 2 weeks to call him up and then him still be eligible for the playoffs. The truth is, since Evan has said that, Jason Dominguez has started to hit. It's been two nights. He obviously crushes a home run last night. I believe we're going to see Jason Dominguez play as a New York Yankee this year. I think they have their eyes on it. I think they're trying to do the right things, say the right things. Aaron Boone clearly loves Alex Verdugo. He said it to us at Citi Field when we were there that day well. But, you know, at some point, your best guys are going to play, and Jason Dominguez will fit into that as long as Verdugo.
But you know Aaron Boone is, and this is why it gets a little frustrating with him at times, because he'll play the guys and trust them even if they're not performing. DJ is the prime example. And eventually, when he knows he has to make the move, he'll do it.
Right.
Right? And so now DJ's not playing every day anymore.
No.
And he won't.
And give him credit, too, being the consummate pro after the struggle he had, which is exactly what he said. There's a role for somebody like that off the bench.
Exactly right. And so you give Aaron Boone credit, you just say it took too long.
Right. That's all it is. Chris in San Diego. Chris, what's up?
Hey, I want to piggyback on that guy's idea about Aaron Judge playing first base.
Go ahead.
He played first base in college and did quite well at everything else he's ever done on and off the field as an athlete. But it makes a lot of sense to actually give him one more place to rotate in, as we're going to have a ton of really good DHs coming through that can't play anywhere else.
That's a good point.
And
true.
And it's just prolonged. We got him for like, what, 8-9 more years?
Right.
Yeah.
And to that point, if they sign Soto and Dominguez is a center fielder, you know, you're going to move Judge to left or something. Like, maybe it does happen a little faster than 4 years from now, Tiki.
Yeah, I mean, and so this is where it's going to get complicated, to your point, Chris, is that I think in a couple, let's say they hang on to Soto, and obviously Stanton's here still, Judge is here. There's going to be three or four guys who need DH days.
Yeah.
And it's like managing that is so like mind. I can't even like put my head around it. Right? How do you maximize everybody's talent? Give them enough at bats, but not compromise yourself defensively because you have guys playing in positions that they're kind of liabilities at. That's where it's going to get difficult.
It's hard. It's hard. But I would also rather know that the guys could play the field and you could figure out, you know, everybody takes a day at DH or 2 days at DH, then be where they are now. As much as I love what Stanton's done, having one guy stuck at DH blocks a lot of that flexibility.
Well, I think Stanton is blocked at DH, sitting at DH and blocking everybody simply because he can't stay healthy if he plays in the field.
Right. Right.
He just can't do it. So you have to just give him days off. Right. He's not a full-time player any longer.
Unfortunately. But yeah, ultimately I do think you're going to see Aaron Judge. They wouldn't be doing these little things like having him take these routine grounders and everything without obviously the foresight with that. Let's go to Chris in Tinton Falls. Chris, what's up?
What up, Chris?
Hey, boys. Hey, Sean, I heard your point earlier, buddy, and it's an interesting one. Can Judge be an all-time great without winning. And
all-time great Yankee. All-time great Yankee.
No. I apologize. I meant that. All-time great Yankee. And I'll preface this with saying, generation guys my age, right around that 48 to 51, Mattingly was our king, mm-hmm. right? Because we knew the legacy of the 70s Yankees. Really don't remember them. We were all like 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the 96 to 2000, we're all young men, our early 20s. Love it. Don't revere guys anymore like kids do.
Yeah.
I think there's a generation now from 09, and we're in 2024.
Right. 20-year-olds don't remember anything like that.
Right. So now they are judgeable forever. Even if they win 5 years from now or 6 years and Judge is gone, he'll still be a king. And to a guy like me, Mattingly is still an all-time great who never won. So I can see all-time great Yankee. He can fall into that banner.
Now, Chris, hold on. Chris, you're a Mattingly guy, right? And I loved Mattingly. I'm a little younger than you. But you would agree that Don Mattingly, and injuries are a big reason why, he'll never be viewed the same way like Ruth, Mantle, Gehrig, Jeter, all those guys 100%. Are. And that's my point with Judge. Can Judge crack that class without winning a championship? I don't think he can.
Well, you know what? To that end, I do. I almost look at Mattingly like people talk about a Munson. Now, Munson won.
Okay.
But both were great, you know. But no, I would never put Don Mattingly in Mantle, Maris, or Mantle, Ruth, Gehrig. But that next tier of guys who were winners, I'd say that 70s group.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm historically, and even those 90s guys, or the 2000s, I put Mattingly there.
Yeah.
Judge has the potential to be there, though, because, I mean, my God, 300 home runs in what? He's only 32, 8 seasons. I want to see him get 500. I think it would be great if he ever gets beyond that. Absolutely remarkable. Judge is a freak, though.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking me, guys.
Appreciate you, Chris. I mean, he is a freak, and we know this. And
yeah.
If he tones down the wear and tear from being a fielder, then all he's doing is swinging the bat.
Right. And that prolongs it.
It prolongs it, and he's definitely getting to 500. Assuming health. Let's assume health. Getting to 500, and 600 feels like it's inevitable also.
Yeah, I mean, I close my eyes. I feel like Aaron Judge just debuted with those back-to-back homers with Tyler Wilson. He's already had 300 homers to get to another 200.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get there. All-time great baseball player. Got to find a way to win. All right, we talk a little Giants coming up next. Does Malik Nabers off this ankle have to play in this preseason game? And should he play in this preseason game? And what about Daniel Jones? We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Evan out sick today. We hope to have him at Fanatics Fest tomorrow. Again, Fanatics Fest, NYC. Come check us out tomorrow at the WFAN. I guess, what do we call it, booth? I don't know. The WFAN setup for doing the show 2 to 6.
Setup sounds good.
Booth sounds cheesy, right?
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Like it's a display.
Yeah, right. We're not giving away lemonade.
Come buy our product.
Yes, exactly. Come by the WFAN setup. We will be out there having a good time. And dress like Tiki Barber.
Right.
Play really into basically the sports version of Comic-Con. So Saturday, this is a big weekend. Obviously, Fanatics Fest all weekend long. But Saturday afternoon, which I hate. I hate these preseason games being daytime weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I understand maybe it helps for routine. It's still summertime. I'm doing stuff. I want to be able to watch a game at night. Anyway. Giants are playing 1 o'clock, Houston Texans, Saturday afternoon. I think the Jets are Saturday night at Carolina where they had the joint practice.
Yes, that's correct. Because okay. They're there today for the joint practice.
Right.
Off tomorrow and right. Then the game Saturday.
The game Saturday. Okay. Giants, 1 o'clock. Daniel Jones spoke today. It appears he is going to play football for the first time.
He has to.
Well, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. He almost had, because even the joint practice is the one thing you can't replicate, taking the hits. Yeah. He's in the red non-catcher.
I'm not even talking about that. He has to. They have no quarterbacks.
Oh, well, that's another point.
They didn't. We know Drew Lock got hurt, and he's out for however long. It's undetermined right now.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a week, another week or so. So they didn't sign another quarterback. They had Tyree Jackson, who was a tight end,
right.
But was a quarterback at Buffalo and drafted as a quarterback. He only got converted to tight end last year when he got picked up by Philadelphia. He's a big kid, but he has QB. And by the way, Dave knows him because he was in Buffalo.
Right.
And so he was going to play quarterback. He gets hurt.
Yeah, he got banged up. Hurt his back and then re-hurt it again
right.
today.
So they have no quarterbacks other than Tommy DeVito. And now, as much as I want to see Tommy DeVito get the reps and get his love, I see these. He was mic'd up for the first preseason game. And he could tell his teammates just love him.
Oh, totally.
They enjoy him a lot. You could tell.
He cannot be cut. He's got to be on this team.
That also, but he can't take every snap. He can, but
here's where
you really want him to take every single snap in the preseason?
So this is where you and I will agree to disagree. I think Daniel Jones has to play Saturday too, but more from, I don't want him showing up week one versus Minnesota in a game, by the way, where Vikings players are getting hurt left and right mm-hmm. now heading in. John's got to win that game. I want Daniel Jones with the neck, with the offensive line in front of him.
I'm not worried about. The ACL, I just need to see him be under duress and handle it well. I'll be fine.
I don't mean that the neck is still hurt or that he's going to hurt the neck. I just want him to mentally trust everything that's going on.
Yeah, just trust your left tackle not to, you know, blindside you and give you a lookout block.
Right, and the moment Josh Azudu comes in this game should be the moment Daniel Jones is out of this game.
Lookout block meaning at least say look out instead of letting him get drilled without being known.
But it could be important to get Illuminor and Thomas on the field and know, hey, I have two bookend tackles now where I can feel comfortable to make plays down the field. Now, the other caveat to this is as much as if the excuse is they don't have quarterbacks, look, if they don't want Jones to play, Tommy DeVito plays four quarters. I can't hear that they don't have enough bodies in a preseason. Malik Nabers was hurt last week. We all breathed a sigh of relief. He returned to practice.
So it was just an ankle sprain.
Just an ankle sprain. This is what I was told. He apparently ran around practice, cutting everything, no limitations. All signs point to him playing on Saturday. So do you think off an ankle sprain that Malik Nabers should be playing in the preseason?
An ankle sprain is nothing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hurt my ankle as a football player. And sometimes it felt like it was worse than others, but I always never worried about it. As long as the film, meaning the x-ray or the MRI or whatever it is, showed that there was no structural damage, to me it was just pain.
Right.
And so for right now, I think for Malik Nabers and for the Giants as they evaluate him, it's some pain. Maybe a little swelling. It's nothing that's serious. Otherwise, he would not be available. So the fact that he is available tells me that Ronnie Barnes and crew have done a great job of evaluating it and telling him, it's going to be uncomfortable at times, but you can play through it if you want to.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a baller and a dog like that, so he wants to play.
Tyrone Tracy did individual work today, which is unbelievable.
By the way, it's the exact same thing.
Right? Yeah. Low ankle sprain.
Low ankle sprain, which is just a sprain.
Right. And it went from week to week to you're already doing individual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it appears, every Giant starter will take the field on Saturday.
Which is great.
Except for John Runyon Jr., who got banged up in practice earlier in the week. So they're going to play with Aaron Stinney at that guard probably.
He's been playing there a lot anyways.
Yeah. So you figure that out.
Yeah, because Van Roten was playing center with Michael Schmitz.
And now John Michael Schmitz is back.
Schmitz is back. So they have versatility.
Right, which is crazy. So now, Tiki, looks like a lot around the league. We saw Caleb Williams play a little last week. Josh mm-hmm. Allen, Patrick Mahomes is going to play this week. This feels
Mahomes
like...
Mahomes played last week, too.
Yeah, and he always plays in the preseason. Isn't it going to be the case for Aaron Rodgers, and we know?
Yeah,
I'm just talking about this week.
I feel like teams are starting to take cues from other teams.
Right. Well, if the team that keeps winning all the Super Bowls can do it, there's got to be something to that, right? Playing the starters in the preseason?
Because there's something to, especially if you have new players. Now, Kansas City does, obviously, because they have some new wide receivers that are there. The Giants definitely do. The Jets are different because Aaron Rodgers didn't play at all last year.
Yeah.
But there's a real real time timing issue that matters, not to be redundant, but a real game timing issue that is important to develop. And it's easy to think you're doing it in practice, but you also know it's not really intense. This cornerback is not trying to take me out. He's not trying to compromise me. He's not, like, the ball is not the important thing. Safety is the most important thing.
No, you're allowed to play in the preseason with, how are we going to hit in the regular season?
So in the regular season, that timing gets real. And so you kind of need to do it a few times. And so I think Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen and all these guys that are playing as veterans are starting to change the mindset. Now, I know this only because Roger Goodell has said this. One of the reasons that they want to go to two preseason games and tack on another regular season game is obviously financial.
Sure.
But the biggest reason, I think, is that the preseason feels like a waste.
Yeah.
I forget the number. I think it was like 25%. Like 25% of the team doesn't play in the preseason. So why are you having all these preseason games when these guys aren't playing anyways?
Right.
They're just kind of around to practice. And so the coaches aren't taking it seriously. They're not taking the preseason game seriously. So if you're not going to take it seriously, why the hell are we even doing it?
Right. So that leaves us with, if you're going to do that and only get down to two games, my guess is, like you're going to see this week, coaches will kind of pick one game now.
Mm-hmm. That's how it always was.
Well, it used to be the third preseason game of the four, you would play three quarters, basically, then start the pullback. That was your dress rehearsal.
Yes, that was
the Nobody dress would play in the fourth game, nobody's which has now been eliminated.
Nobody's going to do a dress rehearsal.
So anymore. Are we to assume now that week two in the preseason of the three is the one where this is it? We're going to see the starters.
Yeah.
So would you...
For maybe two series.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How long will Daniel Jones, Malik Nabers, and this offensive line play? You think two series?
Two series.
And if they play two series, do they come out in week three versus the Jets, or is that it?
I don't think they play at all week three versus the Jets.
Okay, so it's two...
Because they're going to have a joint practice, so they're going to have something similar to a game.
Right.
Because it's a joint practice, even though the hitting will be different, especially at the end of training camp. But I don't think any of the starters will play. Maybe they will, but I would guess that they don't.
So is a team like the Giants, who, by the way, Pro Football Focus has them right up there to pick number one in the draft, which feels ridiculous. Mm. Is two series enough for Daniel Jones off this injury with this offensive line to build up rapport and feel like you're coming out all cylinders firing in week one?
Probably not. But
Play him more this week.
But as we've seen, it feels like in the NFL, those first couple of weeks are the real preseason.
Yeah.
That's where you get yourself into that grind. Now, it's dangerous for teams that are on the edge, that are a game or two away from being playoff viable, really, at the end of the season.
Right.
You look back at the beginning of the year, it's like, man, shouldn't we have just put some more effort in the preseason that where we could have come out, hitting on all cylinders?
Well, let's put this into perspective, and I don't mean to over-exaggerate this, and Tommy's a Giant fan, too. He could attest to this. Tommy always talks about the Mets and how little they've made the playoffs in his lifetime. You know what's happened very little in our lifetimes, Tiki, especially recently? The Giants winning games in week one, which is why what happened versus the Titans 2 years ago set the tone for the entire season when Dable calls, the two-point conversion and the kick goes missed. It set up a playoff run for the year. This year, we're not looking at the Dallas Cowboys on week one on Sunday Night Football. It is the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold coming into MetLife Stadium. And after that, I think it'll be a much improved Commanders team, but still a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels in week two. What this Giant team, if they are really going to dream and be on the upside of stuff like you've picked 8-9 wins, they cannot come out and start the year flat.
They need to be 2-0.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll sign for 1-1, but they got to be 2-0.
See, here's the good thing, though. I think that defensively, it's different. It translates differently. I think as a defensive unit, which we're supposed to be good, right? The Giants' defense is supposed to be good. It's not as necessary to have those in-game live-action real things going on.
Right.
I think if the talent is right, they'll play hard. They'll be okay without getting preseason reps. Now, I think the defense actually might play more than the offense does.
Well, they already did. Some of them played in the first game.
That's what I mean.
Tay Banks was out there. That's for the what first I mean.
Those are young guys, and they have to.
Right.
When you have, look at the young quarterbacks. All the young quarterbacks played last week.
Yep.
The rookies, they all kind of played, and they all did some things you know, relatively well. So I think when you're young, you play in the preseason. As you get a little bit older and veteran, it's not as necessary.
Right. Well, I hope to, if that's all it is on Saturday, I'm all in favor. Tiki is too. No disagreement there. Daniel Jones should play, will play, is going to play. Offensive line, going to play. Malik Nabers, going to play. I think that's important for the Giants. If it is only two series, that's fine. Also, if Malik Nabers is going to play, all I have heard about, and we saw training camp with Tommy and I were there. By the way, the show will be there Tuesday at Giant Camp next week leading into the Jet game. I won't. I'm punished. Can't go to the game. Can't go to the practice. I will say this. Can we target Malik Nabers in this game? He ran out there with Drew Lock, didn't get a single target.
Even if you just force it.
Well, here's
just
the reason.
Just target him. Just force it and let him go make a play.
I guess I know what this means, but I'm a novice, and you know what this means. I have seen this in print. I've seen this on Twitter. I've seen it talked about. Even when he's not open, he's open.
Of course.
That's the kind of player Malik Nabers is. Is it so much, if he's going to go forward and play these two series, and we're going to get all juiced up about the Angels and the Nabers, can I see an attempt where I find out even if he's not open, he's open?
Yeah, so what that means is if someone's covering Malik Nabers, but say their back is turned because of whatever coverage they're playing, so they're not sitting in a shell and their eyes are towards the quarterback.
Right.
So if you're in a shell, you're playing cover two or cover four or whatever it is, there's nobody behind you, just don't give up the deep ball, your eyes are forward. If your eyes are forward, clearly you have the advantage on the wide receiver.
Right.
Because you don't know when, you know when the ball leaves.
Right.
Right. The receiver doesn't necessarily.
Right.
Timing wise, maybe in his mind he does. But
right. They've practiced it all the time.
You're sitting in a shell. You're looking at the quarterback. He's not fooling you. If there's any kind of man coverage or even just a man look, even if it's not a man coverage, just a man look, and the defensive back or the coverage player has his back turned to an elite wide receiver or a tight end, he's open.
Right.
That's what that means. And so Tony Gonzalez was the master of this. It was they're gonna play a shell because you got, you know, Roddy White and, you know, these other guys out here, but they're gonna cover me man with the linebacker or the nickel cornerback. He might be on me, but I'm open because he can't see you throw the ball. So just throw it, Matt. And so Matt started to throw the ball. They had a phenomenal connection. I think Malik Nabers wants to be like that. And some of the greats that we see right now, that's exactly what happens. I see it all the time with Mike Evans. Right, Mike Evans isn't fast. He's not a blazer. He's not going to run by you. You're absolutely right. So we'll single cover him. And then Baker Mayfield last year just throws in the ball because the defensive back's back is turned to him, and you get these massive completions.
Right, that's what
that's what that means. So if you get a look where the defender's back is to you as a quarterback, and you know that wide receiver is a go get it ball hawk, throw it to him because that means he's open.
I just got to say, and it will be unfair, if Daniel Jones plays this game and, you know, maybe he's under a little under duress, and I expect him to feel a little uneasy. I do. I think that should be natural on Saturday. There will be an outcry of panic from Giant fans in a preseason game if he doesn't even...
He's going to throw it to... I think you're going to get multiple targets.
I hope we do. And that will get everybody really excited. Right. We'll say, okay, we've seen enough. Let's go to the regular season.
Because think about this. When you do this, it just instills confidence in your ability. Jaden Daniels is the prime example. So he's a little shaky in his first preseason start last week. But he had a play, his outside receiver, De'Ami Brown was covered.
Yeah.
Like covered.
Yeah.
But guess what? That defender's back was to him.
That was a pretty throw.
So
man,
what does that mean? We just finished going through this class. He's open.
Right.
And he threw a great fade, sideline fade to him. Ball was on the money. Great catch. Get him down in the red zone. He scores, you know, running it in, you know, three or four plays later. So those are the type of things that you want to see from quarterback-receiver combos.
And when you hit a big play like that down the field, as you've pointed out, and you can check out Tiki on the newest Talking Giants, when you make explosive plays down the field, your percentage goes up of figuring out how to score touchdowns.
Four times.
Tiki, you brought this up last week that perhaps Brian
on
Daboll...
On Loogie and Lightning.
Okay. Tiki and Tommy here on The Fan. You brought up perhaps Brian Daboll kind of told Drew Lock, hey, don't target Malik. We want to see how he reacts to it.
Yeah. I haven't found any clarification on that. So we know. So for those who missed this, and Sean, you missed this as well. Remember Dave's first year, three off seasons ago. And preseason, he would tell Wink what they were doing.
Yeah, to see how Jones would react.
Being frustrated by damn, these guys know exactly what we're doing.
Right.
What? And so it was a test on Daniel Jones. So last week I speculated after the preseason game, Neighbors had zero targets. Not even a chance to go catch the ball. Zero.
And he had that one spot where he was open if Locke looked at him in that moment.
So I thought maybe Dave's is trying to test them. Because you remember at Hard Knocks, he asked them, how are you going to react if things aren't going your way, if you're not getting the ball?
And Neighbors admitted he'd be angry. And they would say, I want players to want the ball.
Right.
I could see that.
So I wonder if that was intentional.
I could see that. I could see that. And look, at least what the cameras showed, Neighbors passed the test. I didn't see any noticeable front down.
Nor did you hear anything about it downstream.
Right.
Also, with Locke playing, it's not like Locke was going to be the starter. With DJ out there, we can get into more of this tomorrow about who should be starting, but with Jones and Neighbors, you know you want to get that connection going. So I think first play is going right to Neighbors.
Yeah.
No matter what, they're going to design a play. Well, get open, let's go.
Yeah. Look, there's no doubt, right? The one thing we could not argue about Daniel Jones is we could all agree there was definitely some confidence issues because of the lack of protection, lack of weapons, all of that, right? Anybody who's been pro Daniel Jones has said that. So if you get him out there early in a game with now what you would assume are two really solid tackles, something he hasn't had. This will be the best set of tackles when you had a Luminor to right tackle that Daniel Jones has played with.
Agreed.
And this will clearly be the best wide receiver he's ever played with. If you're going to take the time to play these guys in the preseason, getting that connection where Daniel Jones can kind of just breathe and go, okay, I got a dude, a dog, who's going to do damage, and I have an offensive line I could trust, that's going to go a long way in a couple weeks.
Of course it will. Of course it will. So I guess, that's why it makes sense for them to play.
Yeah. So
even though it's a preseason.
It's a dog.
It is a dog. By the way, update on the Mets. They are losing 7-6 in the sixth. Real quickly before we get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Any official statement, power of positivity?
The official statement is that the Mets will win this game, they will win the series, and they will have a successful homestand.
Mm. Okay. Connor, please make sure you save that. Mark in New Jersey. Mark.
Generational talent.
What up, Mark?
Hey, guys. I'm so grateful to get together with you here.
Appreciate it.
First and foremost, I just want to thank Tiki for just adding to Big Blue Legacy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah. So listen, and that was my transition from Giants to the Yankees, by the way.
Giants.
I am so upset with this team. You know, you guys talked before about Aaron Judge and the like. Here's my thinking. They just seem to baby these players. They lack the killer instinct. You know, in football, Tiki. It's not enough to win by a touchdown. You got to go for two touchdowns or three touchdowns. Keep driving them into the dirt. Right?
But Mark, I think that's harder to do in baseball. You know, it's harder to let your emotions translate into success. Baseball, I never played baseball at a high level. So, but I assume it's like golf. You start going up there and pressing and letting anger or whatever it is dictate how you approach an at bat or a situation in the field. You're actually in a disadvantage, I would think.
I agree.
And so it's staying calm. And I think why the Yankees regular season, I'm not opining about the postseason, regular season have all save last year have been so good is they never get high or low. They just kind of just sit right there like, it's all right, we're good.
But
it's
some view right, that as good. A negative though.
Of course. It's only a negative because once they get to the postseason, something needs to click up or tick up.
If you can't turn that switch on,
it's
got to
tick up, and it just doesn't happen for them. I think that's why. I mean, so you're right, but you're also, I think you're viewing it a little bit through the wrong lens, the wrong sports lens. Because I think in football, you're right. I would agree with you 100% in football. Get pissed off, man.
Right.
Right. Take your energy to another level. Baseball, it's a little different, though, Mark.
Your comment, though, you've got to get that motor going and finely tuned. And you don't get it by sitting person here, sitting someone there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we look at the Yankee lineup and their batting averages, and you look at the history of these players, like Verdugo, like DJ LeMahieu, the only way their batting average is going is south.
Yeah.
I mean, they're ready. Why don't we just open up a geriatric wing at Yankee Stadium?
Well, Verdugo's not that old. Thanks for the call. Look, but it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. We've credited the Yankees all year with what? Sticking with consistent lineups for the most part, playing guys every day. Part of the product of doing that, as opposed to the constant rotation that the Yankees were doing, is you're really living with the struggles with some of these guys, and you're trying to figure it out. So I'll be honest with you. I'm extremely frustrated with Verdugo. We eventually saw the end of it, basically, with LeMahieu. Now he plays sporadically. I would rather this, though. I would rather know that I'm seeing basically the same guys out there, because I do think that that continuity and knowing how everybody hits down in order will provide more positivity come October than obviously some of what they've put out. We'll continue to take your calls on the Giants. Monitor this Met game. Positive Tommy has guaranteed victory. What?
Well, the Mets are spitting distance from the A's here. That's why I'm confident.
Loogie! More on that and what that means. And a first pitch that really will determine what the next 2 weeks and the narrative is around the Mets will all be talked about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.